So how's everybody this morning? Kind of let them disperse here a little bit. We'll start out with a few questions. Get our minds wrapped around what's coming. So this morning, what do we do practically? Today's going to be practical. What do we do every day, day in and day out, year after year? And we've done this since we were old enough to be able to do it. As we think about the lesson today and we work through it, the first thing we do in the mornings is we wake up. Everybody wakes up. And then we take off our pajamas. Or if you sleep naked, we have to put aside. And that is a definite place to have a mental picture for a message first thing in the morning. So after we put aside our pajamas, then we have to put on our clothes. Get dressed. And after we get dressed, we start our day. We walk. We behave in a certain manner. How much thought goes into that process? How much time do we spend actually thinking about what we're going to wear, what we're going to put on? We'll focus on the ladies for a minute. We have to think about the events of the day, where we're going, what's happening, to decide what we're going to wear. Who's going to see us? Is it appropriate? This morning I put on a pair of Birkenstocks, two different colored socks, a pair of shorts and a shirt that did not match. And I thought, oh, this will really get them going. Vicky goes, no, that's not appropriate. And not true, you wouldn't be able to focus very good if I wore that up here. So guys, what about you? Oh, it's easy. Shirt's clean, lift up the arm, doesn't smell. We're good to go. Or we wear a uniform every day. Jared's crew wears a uniform every day, got their shirt. But what about when we go hunting? Dress differently. Depends on what we're doing, what's happening. We think about it. You think more about what you get dressed than you really realize that you put into that much thought of what you're going to put on. What hat am I going to wear today? That's a big deal for us, guys. What hat am I going to? Is it a felt hat day or a straw hat day? What season are we in to put on that hat? Okay, so we put more thought into that process than we really realize. So we better open up in prayer first before we get going here. Father, as we come before you this morning, I just pray so much that your Holy Spirit would move upon us, move upon our hearts, help our minds to be cleared of the stuff that's going on at home, the stuff that's going to happen after church, that the kids are doing. Just help us to really just relax and to just soak in your words. Father, I pray that the words that leave my mouth would be glorifying to you, that they would reach the hearts that they need to reach in the way that you want them to reach there. Father, I pray that your word is just a powerful and a mighty sword that takes care of things in our lives. Help us to really think and think through the text this morning and the details that Paul has brought forth to us. Help us to really focus on who you are and what you're doing in our lives, where you want us to be, and ultimately being in your presence. In Jesus' name. So as we get started this morning, let's go back to doing some background. The first 11 chapters, as Dan shared a few weeks ago, is all doctrine, theology. Paul gives us that. And then he takes that theology and he says, okay, we need to put it into our daily lives, practically. How do we do that? What are the details of that? What does that look like? So in chapter 12:1, Dan started out a few weeks ago and he says, hey, we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy before God. Well, how in the world do we do that? A living sacrifice. We got to crawl on the altar alive instead of being dead. Okay? How do we do that? Verse 2. We must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Okay? That's great. How do we metamorphose into what we're supposed to? Then it says, by the renewing of our minds. This morning, this message really is going to focus on our thought process, what goes into those thoughts, how do we control those thoughts, how do we put those thoughts practically into life. Because after that, you get into the rest of Romans, and we've got conduct, we've got responsibilities that we will entail, we will incur day in and day out. Okay, and so that's kind of the beginning of where we're going to be. I'm going to read this morning's passage, and we're going to be in 13. So we're continuing in Romans. We're going to start out in verse 11, which is where Dan left off last week. It says, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awake from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lusts." Okay, so the first words in that verse says, do this. And Paul's emphatically saying, do this. Some of your versions would say, and do this, or and therefore. He's saying, you're going to do this. So what is Paul talking about going back to the 12th chapter of Romans and saying, okay, as Christian conducts, we have responsibilities within the body of Christ to do these things. Take the grace of God and put them into the body of Christ? Or is he talking about in the first seven verses in chapter 13 where we're supposed to submit to the authorities that God has put above us as servants? And on top of that, we're supposed to pay them to do that with our tax money. Then in 8 through 10, he says, okay, you've got these neighbors. Fences are terrible, huh, Dave? Fences are terrible. And their cattle come over constantly. Effort. I got to love my neighbors. No matter whether we're getting our fences fixed or not, we've got to love our neighbors. Then we're going to go into chapter 14. Next week, Dan's going to go into 14. And he's going to talk about the strong and the weak Christian and how we're not supposed to judge each other. And then after that, there's going to be a strong and weak Christian. And how do we not put stumbling blocks before them? So we have a relationship. We have relationships that we have to deal with. We have the world, the government, our neighbors that we have to deal with, and then we've got the church body that we deal with. How do we practically fit all that stuff in? Is that what he's talking about doing? Or is he talking about getting dressed, waking up, taking off your deeds of righteousness and putting on Christ and walking in a particular manner every day? These four verses are wedged in the middle of all that context, and it's like, okay, how do I do life with Christ in the middle of it? And we got four verses here that are so practical. They give us those kind of lessons to be able to take that and put it into our daily lives, if we're paying attention, if we're thinking about it. So let's see what Paul says as we go on. So do this, knowing the time. So he's going mental on us. Knowing the time. The word knowing there means to understand, but the understanding here is that you're connected to it. You're attached to that understanding. And that'll make sense in a minute. You're attached to that understanding, and then it says, knowing the time. The time there is a word, it's in other places it's used as epic, but it means the season. So you need to understand and know the season that you're in. And you're attached to that season. Okay, so this is going to hopefully fall in line as we move through the text. But Paul's saying you need to know these things, all these things. It's not just knowing what season you're involved in right now, which is what we're talking about at the moment, but it's going to be knowing the whole text, involved in mentally in the whole text. And then he goes on, and he makes eight references to time. So he says, knowing the time, that's the first one, that it is already the hour for you to awake from sleep. Already an hour, or it's here, and it's a particular defined moment in time for you to do something. Then he goes on. For now, right now, exactly at this moment, salvation is coming. It's nearer to us than when we believed, making reference to the past. Then in 12a, it says, the night is almost gone. It's fading away, and the day is near. It's coming soon. One of those previews for a movie. It's coming soon. Okay, so if Paul gives you eight references to time in a verse and a half, is he trying to stress something here? Guess what? He's stressing time and it's urgent. So he's emphatic about doing this, and now it's an urgency. This is urgent. Get it done now. So what are we supposed to do with this urgency that he's expressing to us? Guess what? The hour for you to awake from sleep. We're supposed to wake up. Every morning we wake up. This is not a hit the snooze button three times and then get up. Okay? This is shut the alarm off, sleep for an hour and a half, then wake up, and this is a jolt because you have a two-hour drive to the airport to catch a plane, and you're an hour and a half late. Now, that's a jolt. Wake up. What are we waking up from? We're asleep. The word sleep there means that we have disregarded what we know. We have checked out. We're not focused on what we need to focus on. We know it, but we disregard it. We've basically gone to sleep on what we know. Okay, let's carry on. So what have we fallen asleep about? Where are we at? For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Okay, where's he going with this? There's three aspects to salvation. Wake up to this point. I'm standing right here in my salvation, right here today. As we believed, he points to the past salvation. What happened over here in our past? The day we believed. The day we understood that our sin separated us from God. So I'm over here going, okay, sin separated me from God. I understand I'm a sinner. Christ died on that cross. Christ took my sins upon his body. He took the wrath of God that was meant for me upon his body that day. Way a long time ago, but it was for me now. He took that day. He declared me righteous that day. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, the Spirit was sealed inside of me that day. That is the day of justification. I was justified that day. I am positionally saved for eternity on this day. But Paul's standing over here. This was age 11 for me. We're standing here today, present life. Right here, present life. Asleep. He says, wake up. Because he wants you to see what's in the future. He wants you to understand what's going on over here in the future. Now, our future, and we talked about it in Romans 8, the last time I got to give a message, Paul focused on glorification, the future salvation, which is called glorification, when we don't have any more of this stinking fleshly body, when we don't have to live in this sinful world, when we don't have the evil forces at work on us. We don't have to deal with cancer. We don't have to deal with all that stuff. That glorification, that final complete salvation, when we've got a glorified body, will be awesome. That's what's near to us. He's saying, look at that. Okay, well, that was 44 years ago, way over here. And I'm standing here today, but I'm a whole lot closer to the future salvation than I am over here. And so that's what he's saying. We're closer here. But now I'm standing here in the present. He's saying, wake up. Wake up. Because in my present state, which is called sanctification, in my mind, I'm just going through life. Because I tell you what, if Christ didn't keep me saved, I'd give it away. Look at Esau, the Old Testament. He gave away his birthright for a bowl of stew. You don't think I'd give away my salvation if I could? It would happen, I guarantee you. You guys would too. Something had come along and it'd been so much pressure on you, you'd say, whoop, I'll trade it off. Save my soul. Save my feelings. Save my thoughts. Save my whatever. I would give it away. But you can't, because Christ keeps you saved right here. Okay? He keeps you saved. But in the midst of that sanctification, which is where I'm at, I should be growing in my relationship with Christ. And I'm not, because I'm asleep. And he's saying, wake up. Wake up. Because of your future glorification, where you should know, and we're nearer to that. Do you see that Paul is writing this? He is 24 years removed from when Christ died on the cross. So this is in 57 AD. He's standing over here looking at that future, focused on that future, and it's only been 24 years since Christ died for him. We're 2,000 plus years. We are way past when we believed, when things happened, and it still hasn't come to pass, but it's getting closer. So what's getting closer? Why is this so urgent? Let's continue on. Verse 12, it says, the night is almost gone, and the day is near. So he's given us a picture of part of this urgency. So the night is almost gone is referring to this earth, this earthly processes that go on. We have spiritual darkness. We have dangers. We have things attacking us constantly on this earth that we have to deal with. The darkness of this earth is fading away. Every morning, make a pot of coffee, get up, start drinking. Then I go back to get another one. From 4:35 to 4:50, I'll walk past the door because it's so hot. I open the front doors and the screen's there, but the wind comes through the house, the breeze, and it's beautiful. It's nice. Nice part of the day. But about that time is when you can see the light. It's just light enough to see the outline of the trees and the barn and the corrals and stuff that's behind it. So it's just getting light. So I know it's almost daytime. Well, that's a picture of what he's talking about here for our future glorification is Christ's return. He's focused on Christ's return, but we know from Daniel, Revelation, and other things that there's a seven-year period of tribulation period, and Christ's going to return at the end of that for a thousand-year reign. That will start in the middle of the abomination of desolation in the temple. So that starts that. So we have a pretty good idea when Christ's going to come back to rule and reign for a thousand years will happen in a short, close period of time that we know of. What's going to happen on the eternal time clock that's coming next for the season that we're in? What season are we in? We're in the church age season. And he's working through us for the future. So what's the next, one word, what's the next calendar event that's supposed to happen that we're waiting on? We have no idea when it's coming. Rapture. So is it not urgent where we don't know what's coming tomorrow? He could rapture us tomorrow. Are we ready? Or are we still asleep doing the deeds of darkness? Where are we at? Think about it. What are we doing? Are we asleep? Are we awake? Are we growing and maturing in our... One more thought to add to this urgency that Paul's sharing. Next week, Dan is going to end in this spot. Because he's only doing this next chapter in two lessons. So I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. Adds to the urgency. But you, why do you judge your brothers? Or again, why do you regard your brothers with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praises to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. I'm going to read one more passage in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Over here, Paul again says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for the deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So when we get to heaven, when we get to this final glorification, there's going to be two judgments. There's a white throne judgment where God is going to open up a book and he's going to see if your name's there or not. Okay? If you do not believe in Christ, your name's not going to be there. That white throne judgment is where you go to hell because you don't have the blood of Christ washing you clean. You did not believe in Jesus Christ, so you're going that way. Okay? He ain't going to have to look up my name. Okay? It's in there, but he doesn't have to look it up because I have a relationship with him. The problem is I'm sleeping. I'm not awake. And this was a problem in part of my life. From 11 to now, there was a section in there through college time. I was asleep doing what Scott wanted to do. But what about what I've done since he woke me up? Have I lived for him? Have I used the spiritual gifts that he's given me? What have I done with them? Have I had the right motives with them? Whenever I get over here to the Bema seat and the rewards, when I stand up here and I give a lesson, is my motive to please your guys' ears? And that's my reward? Or was it to please God and I get a reward? What am I doing? Am I awake or am I asleep? What am I doing in my relationship, in my sanctification, in my present salvation today? What am I doing? It matters for our future salvation. It's going to matter. Okay? So that's the urgency. That's why Paul's going, do this, and he's urgent about it. Wake up. Get going. So after we wake up, he says, do this. What's the next thing we need to do? Go back to Romans. And we will carry on in verse 12. So we need to, therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Lay aside the deeds of darkness. Relate this back to taking your pajamas off. We'll focus on that, not the other one. Do we give any thought to doing that? I'm going to take off my pajamas in the morning. I throw them in the corner or under my pillow or wherever they land. Are those pajamas, how many days in a row have I wore those? Are they dirty? Are they clean? Are they smelly? Do we give that any thought? Are they holy? And I'm not talking about in a righteous way. Are they worn out? Are they threadbare? We don't give that aspect a lot of thought. We need to think about some of this stuff. So, if I'm to lay aside the deeds of the flesh when I wake up, what am I laying aside? Do you know what your fleshly lusts are? Do you understand that about yourself? I've had to learn it over the years. I know pride's one of them, and I got some other ones that I struggle with. I know what they are. So, Paul gives us a picture here in Romans of an army man, a military man going to battle. So the next morning, this is going to be a big battle. So these guys are going to war, and there's a chance they're going to die. So what are they doing the night before when they're in this sleeping state? What do? They go party. They could die the next day. Okay, so the deeds of darkness, he has generated a picture for us to see. We're going to see the armor of light in a minute. Let's look at the deeds of darkness. Starts in 13. It says, after it says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. So if we look at those words, not in carousing. Carousing is nocturnal, riotous, singing and partying and dancing and ends up inside from the outside in an orgy. That's what that word means. You think about World Series when they win. Cubs forever didn't win. What happened in town afterwards? Cleveland, Never had a championship. What happened after the basketball deal? There's riots in the street. Everybody's half drunk, yelling and screaming and partying, and that moves the inside and ends up where we just talked about. Then that leads to drunkenness. Now, the word drunkenness here is not just getting drunk, which they're already halfway there, but it means, back to your college days, drinking games. The whole intent is total intoxication. I'm getting hammered. That's the intent with the word drunkenness. What else does a soldier opt to do sometimes before the battle the next day? The word sexual promiscuity. That word means the defilement of the marriage bed. Fornication beforehand. Sexual immorality before we get married. After we're married, it's adultery. Sexual immorality after we're married. Defiling that marriage bed. And where does that lead to? Sensuality or lasciviousness is what some of the, maybe the King James would say. That word means unbridled, shameless, passionate, lustful sexual activity where you do not care what you're doing, how you're doing, who it affects. It's absolutely unbridled, out of control. That's what's going on. And for us good church-going people that don't do those four things, there's always strife and jealousy. Strife is a constant attitude of argumentative, attacking people over hymns, contemporary music, the color of the chairs, the paint on the walls, things that don't really matter. And we're not talking doctrine here. We're talking external stuff that doesn't really matter, but arguing about it constantly, stirring up things. And then that leads to jealousy, which is a backbiting, continuous rivalry where you're backstabbing people and it just intensifies. So all these are just intensifying as they go. These are the deeds of darkness. There's a whole list of them in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 that go into a lot more detail than what we just talked about. These are what we need to wake up. These are the deeds of our flesh that we're asleep to. We need to wake up to those things and put them aside. Like the old pajamas, it's time to get rid of them. And then what do? We put on the armor of light. It says in 13, we put on the armor of light. What does that mean exactly? So if we go and think about the armor of light, there's another passage in Ephesians where it talks about putting on the armor of God so we can stand firm in where we're at in our walk in life. And these are the areas that we're going to put on practically. Think about this. I am going to put on truth. I'm going to put on righteousness. I'm going to put on the gospel of peace. I'm going to put on faith. I'm going to put on salvation. I'm going to pick up the sword of the Spirit of God's holy word. Those are the things that I'm going to arm myself with. So back to this military guy that's been doing this. He is out, hungover. He's out of it. And they come and urgently wake him up. It's time for battle. He has to get up and put off all those clothes, what he was wearing the night before. Then he's got to suit himself up with armor. Get ready for the battle. And that's the picture that Paul's trying to describe to us. Get ready for the battle. Get ready for the day. And then we go back to Romans 13. What else do we put on? We get to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a first name, middle name, and last name. You don't think Paul's not trying to stress something here? He's stressing put on all of Christ, the fullness of Christ, the completeness of Christ. The word Lord means king or master. Am I serving the master? Have I given my whole life to the master, to Christ, to Lord? The next word is Jesus. Jesus means savior. Jesus came and died for me. He gave up a perfect life in heaven, came down here and took my sins, took my wrath, took everything that should have been mine. He took it and provided me salvation, not only in this life, but also got me to the life to come, the eternal security. The last one is Christ. Christ means anointed, the anointed one, or Messiah. This is what God did. He sent his only son from heaven down here to get me, to get you, to clean you, to wash you with his blood. God sent him to do that, to come and get us, to carry us through life. Christ does it all. We have to put the fullness of Jesus, the Lord, and the Christ on. And that's what he's getting at. You've got to put him on. Put him on. Every aspect of him. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. It says in verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deeds, and that you, by the renewing in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on Jesus. Wrap yourselves, picture yourselves, wrapping yourselves in the morning with Christ around you. Okay, what do we need that for? Okay, now it's here where we go to walking. We have to walk through our day, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the world, whether it's in relationships with people. We're back in Romans. So in verse 13, it says, let us behave properly in as in the day. So the word behave can be translated walk. Let us walk properly. Let us walk and behave in righteousness. Let us walk and behave in a holy way, in a God-pleasing way, in a God-glorifying way. Let us walk that way. What else can we do in our walk? Verse 14, it says, after we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Make no provisions. The word provisions there means planning, preparing, setting up. So what do? Every day, in regards to the desires of our lust, the desires of our flesh, what do we do with that every day? We make plans for that to happen. Think back to the college days a minute, guys. What did we plan during the day for what was going to happen on Friday night, Saturday night? Those plans were made. That preparation was made. We walked through that. What about other things in our life that our struggles of our lust that are not necessarily tied to drinking or sexual issues? Pride. Am I doing things to make provisions not to do that? One of the stories I heard on one of the commentators I was listening to, he was back in the turn of the century when they rode horses. He was a drunk guy and he got saved. And he had to ride to town to go to church. Well, on his ride to town, it went right past the saloon. And the hitching post was in front of the saloon, not in front of the church. So the guy pulled up, stepped off his horse, and he tied his horse to the hitching post in front of the bar, saloon. He didn't make it past the doors of the saloon. Week after week, he came to him, he said, man, I feel horrible. I'm struggling getting to church on Sundays because I can't get past the saloon. He said, you know, you really ought to ride to the other side, go back around behind the back side of the church, to the other side of the church. There's a hitching post on the other side of the church. And you'll get to church if you avoid going past the saloon and tying up in front of the saloon. Do we make provisions to put on Christ? Or are we making provisions to satisfy our lust and our desires? All this starts in our mind. These are thought processes that take place, that we do. Tomorrow morning when you get up in the morning, wake up with urgency. Wake up with urgency. What is in front of me today that is going to glorify Christ? I'm closer to the future salvation than I was yesterday. What am I going to take off? What am I going to avoid? Am I going to avoid the saloon? Am I going to ride around to the other side and tie up so I can avoid the temptations? What am I going to put on? Write these verses down. We're not going to read through them, but write these verses down. I guess they're on my paper. Tomorrow morning when you get up, start out with Hebrews 4, 11 through 11 and 12. It's going to make reference to what God's word is and how powerful it is, what it's going to do. Then read Galatians 5, 13 through 26. You're going to end up with that detail of the lust of the flesh. But it's going to talk about walking in the Spirit. And it gives you the fruits of the Spirit at the end. And then finally, go read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 18. That is a parallel passage to what these four verses we studied today. In detail, it will outline very much what we talked about today. And it'll give you need to pray continuously. You need to give thanks constantly. It's going to give you some provision, some things to put on. Wrap yourself in Christ. Wrap yourself in His Word. Pray. Spend some time meditating on His Word. That's how you put Him on. And then, are we ready to walk? Have I thought about what I'm putting on in the morning? Who I'm going to see? Am I going to be able to allow Christ to be an example through me to whoever I see, whoever I run into? Am I putting on my spiritual clothes? So that's the practical aspect of this, because we got to live with a government that we don't always agree with. And we have to pay them. We have to deal with neighbors and situations. And everybody's our neighbor. Christ taught us that. We have to be prepared. Do we have Christ on to not get into an argument about offense? Just go fix it and love on them. If we do not put Christ on, we won't be able to love on them at all. We'll get in a fight. The strife and the jealousy will take over. Put on Christ. And this is a mental exercise, but it's very practical for those areas in life that we have to conduct ourselves and we're responsible for. Let's pray. Father, as we had an opportunity to look at the depths of Your Word, at the details of Your Word, at the details that Paul really wanted us to see about You, in You, around You, Father, I pray that all of us in the morning would wake up with a jolt, with an urgency, understanding where we're at presently, what we need to put off, what we need to lay aside that are deeds that were not holy before You, the things that we need to put on in Christ, wrap ourselves in His righteousness, in His truth, and pray and seek the Holy Spirit to walk with us, through us each day. Father, help us to go out into the world, whether it's in the church, whether it's in individual relationships, whether it's dealing with whoever, however. Help us to just really allow Christ's example to shine through bright and clear. In Jesus' name.